Hello, and welcome to Nothing But Space, a weekly podcast where we talk about everything related to our universe, including the Milky Way, black holes, and other observable and non-observable phenomena. I am your host, Francesca Fernandez, and I will be taking you through what I hope to be a transformative journey. And now, before we dive into our first episode, I thought I would give you a bit more background about who I am, because I kind of want to structure these episodes as like a friendly sort of conversation and like a friendly dialogue between two space enthusiasts. And, you know, because you're going to be hearing a lot of my voice soon, I don't want you to just be like bombarded with facts by someone you don't even know. So just a small introduction to who I am. On my end, I am an incoming freshman at Stanford University, and just to give you like a little introduction, I found my interest in space pretty recently. Now, I feel like there is kind of this like stigma or stereotype in the astrophysics and space community where everyone who really studies space and, you know, who really takes their interest in space to the next level, people who have like doctorate degrees in astrophysics and that kind of thing, these are people who have loved space their entire life. You know, I've seen so many videos where someone is like, you know, how did I find my interest in space? Well, I grew up loving space ever since I was like fresh out of the womb. And, you know, I really want to become an astronaut. You know, these people are practically married to the idea of becoming an astronaut. They own all the NASA merch. They grew up reading comic books about space. They watch Star Trek. Their favorite movie is Interstellar. You know the type of person I'm talking about. Hardcore space enthusiast. So obviously I have a lot of respect for these people because it's definitely hard and it's a lot of work really and a lot of time commitment to have that much determination to do something, especially, you know, at such a young age, and to have the guts and the willpower and the drive to kind of follow through with this obsession that you've grown. And if you are one of these people, I just want to say, like, first of all, that is fascinating to me. And second of all, kudos to you, because I definitely was not one of these people, and my interest in space has definitely come up a lot more recently. So I'm just kind of talking, I guess, to the people who are not one of these diehard space enthusiasts, I've loved space ever since I was like 2 years old type of people, because if you aren't one of these people, neither was I. And when I first found my interest in like space and astrophysics, I was honestly like a bit intimidated because I definitely don't fit into the mold of typical space enthusiasts. I didn't grow up with this obsession with space, and I never really had this strong idea that, you know, I am going to take my love for space to the grave. I am going to be an astronaut. So that's just not who I was. And kind of my hope here with like this podcast and just talking a little bit more about space and why it's so damn cool is just to make space and learning about space and finding an interest in space wherever you are in this space journey. You know, I welcome complete beginners because I was one a few months ago. So no matter how old you are or where you are, I just want to make all of this kind of like space stuff just a little bit accessible. And because especially as you dive into deeper and more complex space topics, especially the ones that are like very intricately tied into like math and physics, it definitely becomes a lot more complicated. So I want to make it very, very accessible. So now that that's kind of out of the way, let's just talk a little bit more about kind of like how I found an interest in space. I just wanted to give you guys like a little introduction, get to know me a bit more, because, you know, obviously I just told you like 20 times now that I am not someone who has always been interested in space. And I think part of that is just because obviously learning about space, if it's not something that you've been keenly interested in your whole life, it's not really too accessible because, you know, first of all, there aren't really many high school classes in space. You know, my school offered astronomy, but it wasn't like an AP class. So I never felt the motivation to take it. And they don't really offer like AP astronomy. So really, a lot of people don't end up taking a class about space and really learning about space, unless they're someone who's loved space their entire life and then they find the motivation to do it. So I think that's kind of like where the path splits, why a lot of people who are really into space and who, you know, actually do astrophysics research, these are people who have loved space their entire life. And so for me, I found my interest in space kind of like right after college applications ended. If you don't know, most college apps are due by the beginning of January. So by that point, I had submitted my last college application and I had a lot of free time, you know, especially with like the pandemic, my extracurricular commitments were a lot more relaxed. My schoolwork was definitely not overbearing. And so I just had this like abundance of time every day, especially when I wasn't at rehearsal. And I just didn't know what to do with this time. And there were like a few ideas I was kind of poring over at the beginning of the semester. You know, I could have picked up TV, but I'm just not really someone who's into TV. I get really bored with TV and it just doesn't really pique my interest. And, you know, with all the TV shows I watched in the past, like I tried watching Crash Landing on You, I've watched How I Met Your Mother, I've watched Jane the Virgin, all of these shows, they definitely took me a long time to watch. So that wasn't really like a viable solution. And just personally, like, TV is a bit more of like a mindless activity, and I wanted to do something that was a little more like enriching for my mind. So I was also like, I know some people, some of my friends who are also seniors, they were like, you know, this semester I'm going to hang out with my friends every day. And they're the type of people who are like, they're always hanging out with other people now. That's also not me. I just can't spend every waking hour around other people. And that's just because, like, personally, I am pretty introverted and I just need some time by myself a lot to just recharge and to kind of like focus on not talking to other people. Because if I spend all my time around other people, I just get really burned out. So then I kind of ended up turning to reading. And so for me, I've always been an avid reader. I've loved reading since like kindergarten. It's something I've always loved doing. But you know, as I got busier throughout high school, I got a heavier workload. I was taking harder classes. I invested a lot of time into my school, like drama department, and I was pretty involved with the choir and other musical groups. I ended up reading like less and less. It just kind of became like less of a priority for me. And only something I really did when I had reading homework. So now with this like abundance of free time in second semester, reading was like the first thing I turned back to. And it was great. I've been reading about like 3 books every week, which for me is like a lot because I never really had this type of free time before, just to sit down and pore over pages and pages of text. I love it though. It's great. So even though I love reading, I have never, now I am, but I'm just saying before, I was never really big on nonfiction. Also, sorry, this is kind of turning into like a reading diatribe, but I promise like this anecdote is going somewhere. So I was never big on nonfiction. I love fiction. My favorite genres are like science fiction. I love dystopians. I love murder mysteries. I love thrillers. Like those genres, I love them so much. They have my whole entire heart. But for me, like, nonfiction has always been much harder to kind of get into. And I think that was just because I've been kind of scarred from nonfiction from a very young age. In fact, I vividly remember. So when I was younger, I didn't own many nonfiction books. And so the first one I ended up reading was a textbook about dinosaurs. Now, dinosaurs themselves and like the concept of dinosaurs and kind of their existence is very interesting. But let's just focus on the word textbook here, okay? Because, you know, I'm sure you and I both know how textbooks are structured. They're very chunky, they're very cut and dry, and they really aren't pieces of text that are interesting, or they're not really written to be engaging. They're kind of written more as, like, supplements to an external class. And so this was the first thing I read, and I think I was, like, 10. It was, like, a textbook about dinosaurs, and I literally hated it. I remember, like, I read it and I was like, if this is what nonfiction is, I never want to read nonfiction again. And even to this day, like we still own this textbook in my house, but I still bet if I picked it up and I tried to read it, I would hate it. So that kind of scarred me from nonfiction. I didn't really try to read it. And whenever I had free time to read, I always spent it reading things that I knew I would love, you know, books by Agatha Christie or Isaac Asimov. So with this abundance of free time this semester, I was thinking like, okay, I think maybe I should just dip my toe in nonfiction again and just give it a shot. And part of that was because something I wanted to do this semester with my free time was I wanted to learn something new every day. That's like a goal I have for myself now, is trying to learn at least one new thing every day. Sometimes I read an academic paper, sometimes I'm listening to like an educational podcast, you know, just a very casual way of absorbing knowledge. And I think, first of all, that's just enriching for myself, but it's also given me a much more like worldly perspective. And I feel like now I know a lot more about topics I didn't know before. Obviously, space is a big one. I've learned a bit of like philosophy, religion, those kinds of topics. So in learning something new every day, a very kind of easy way to do it, and one that's not super like taxing, it's just reading, right? So I was thinking like, okay, maybe I should just pick up a few nonfiction books and see how it goes. You know, maybe I'll like it. And that was probably the best idea I've had in a long time, because let me tell you, most nonfiction books are really fascinating. And they're definitely not at all like the textbook that I had been reading. So I really wish that I didn't scar myself with that book, because most nonfiction is really fascinating. So one of the first books I picked up was actually a book about math. It was just never like my favorite subject, nothing I would just sit and learn about. So I was like, okay, maybe I should read a book about math, because if I kind of learn about math from the perspective of a math enthusiast, maybe that'll make me like it more. And that, again, was a good idea, because it worked. So at the beginning of the semester, I was reading Journey Through Genius by William Durham. And that book just kind of takes a step back from the application of math and talks a little bit about the theory and how these intricate mathematical concepts and geometrical proofs and, you know, those kinds of things, how they were developed throughout history and how math is kind of like a conversation between the past and the present. And that was really fascinating for me. I really liked it. And this was kind of in my phase where I was still not a big fan of math. And that really got me into math. So after that, I was like, okay, you know what? I think I need to read more nonfiction. So I don't even know. This is kind of where space comes in, because I don't remember picking up a book about space on purpose or like with a purpose in mind. I think I just did it like on a whim. So I ended up reading a lot of books about space. I read Astrophysics for People in a Hurry by Neil deGrasse Tyson, which was really good. I read, my favorite one to date that I've read about, I think, like space and kind of physics, is The Science of Interstellar. And obviously, like, the movie Interstellar itself is fascinating, and I think any space enthusiast would agree. That movie is just a chef's kiss. But the book that Kip Thorne, who was the advisor for Interstellar, he was like the scientific advisor, he really divulges all of these, you know, the concepts that Interstellar presents in a lot of detail, you know, about Gargantua and the black hole and time warping and the brain and different tesseracts in the movie. And that book is like kind of like a mind fuck, but it's so great. So I recommend that. And I wish I could read it again for the first time. So anyways, reading all these books, they kind of got me into space. And at that point, I was like, I knew a lot about space in the sense that, like, if you give me a term about space or you ask me to describe some sort of space phenomena, I could do it, right? Like, I could talk about black holes. I could talk about the different types of black holes. I could talk about the Roche limit or pulsars or quasars, you know, that kind of stuff. But I didn't really know enough about space to actually contribute to, you know, the growing body of space research or space literature or anything like that. And my goal, like, I always wanted to be someone who learns a lot, but I also want to be able to share my knowledge with others. So I was like, okay, maybe I need to learn a little bit more about space, because at this point, like, I had my vested interest in space, right? I was reading a lot of books about it, and I just wanted to find a way to really bolster that knowledge so I could help other people find an interest in space. And so kind of the reason I'm here today with a podcast is because I was actually listening to a podcast about space. And so after I was reading all these books, I started listening to the podcast, and it's called Astronomy Cast. Shout out to them. It's basically my favorite podcast about space. So that kind of like really bolstered my knowledge of space. And at this point, I was feeling pretty good. I was like, okay, I think I know enough about space and scientific concept, especially because I already have like a background in science and physics and chemistry. So now I think I'm at the point where I think I'm ready to give back to the space community. I was also listening to Dr. Becky on YouTube, and if you don't know her, she's an astrophysicist at the University of Oxford, and she does a lot of episodes where she talks not only like about her life and what it's like just being an astrophysicist, but also just like about space concepts. And I love her YouTube channel, and that was something that really helped me get into space. So here I am today, just trying to give back to the community. And I kind of have like two goals. First of all, for people like me who haven't always had a vested interest in space since they were like 2 years old, I kind of just want to help everyone like develop an interest in space and find a community for other people who are also super enthusiastic about space, right? I want to be someone who's like your space best friend. You know, we can be two people who don't actually know each other, but know each other so intimately and can just talk about all things intellectual about space. And then for people who, you know, they do fit the mold of like, I have been someone who's loved space since I was 3 years old, since I came out of the womb. I just kind of want to help nurture that love for space and, again, help create like a little podcast community around space. And before I end this episode where I gave you just like an introduction to who I am, I thought I would just give you a few more fun facts. So the first one is about space. My favorite space topic. I was thinking a lot about this. I really like pulsars. I like learning a lot about stars too, but I think if I had to say my favorite one, it would probably be quasars. And I want to do a whole episode on quasars because they're absolutely fascinating. And when I first learned about them, I was like, wow. But just kind of like the TLDR, like the short and sweet summary, is that a quasar is a black hole that is at the center of every universe. So we have a theory that there could be a quasar at this in the center of the Milky Way. But also quasars are at the center of, like, we have a quasar at the center of Andromeda. There's quasars at basically the center of every universe. And they shine very, very brightly. So if you look into the night sky and you see a quasar, it's so bright, even though these universes are like millions and billions of years away. And so if we think about this scientifically, it takes billions of light years for the light from these quasars to travel to our eyes. And that's just because, you know, the speed of light is kind of like a limit. Right now, nothing can travel faster than that. So the light is traveling at the speed of light, and it takes billions of years to get to us because these universes with quasars in the center are billions of years away. And so if you think about it, every time you look at a quasar or when you see a quasar in the night sky, it's like you're looking back in time, because the image of the quasar that you're seeing, like of this black hole in the center of the universe, this image is billions of years old, since the light has taken billions of years to travel to us. And so if you see a quasar, so the age of our universe is about like 13.7 billion years old, right? And so if you see a quasar that's like from a universe that's like 12 billion years away, you're essentially looking 12 billion years back in time, since the light has taken 12 billion years to travel to our eyes, right? Like, that is, I'm going to say it again, it's a mind fuck, but that is so fascinating. Just thinking about the concept that we're basically looking back in time, right? Even though we haven't found a way to legitimately, like, travel back in time, we're basically looking back at time. Okay, so that was my little TLDR on quasars. I want to do a whole episode on that. But other things about me, two fun facts. I love pineapple on pizza. That's just kind of random, but I had to throw that out there. If you don't like pineapple on pizza, I'm not sure we can be friends. And the third one is that my favorite book, since I was talking a lot about reading in this episode, is End of Eternity by Isaac Asimov. And obviously I said, like, science fiction is my favorite genre, and End of Eternity is basically a science fiction novel kind of about, like, time travel and the effects that time travel could have when these ideas coincide with, like, moral, one person's own morals. So it's like how time travel coincides with morality. And it's really fascinating. I love it so much. And basically Isaac Asimov as a whole is my favorite scientific fiction writer. So I definitely recommend that. So to conclude, that was just like a little bit about myself and kind of like how I got into space and like my goal for this podcast. Next week, I actually want to bring an episode about space, but for now, I kind of hope you learned a little bit more about me, since you'll definitely be hearing a lot of my voice soon. And, you know, wherever you are in your space journey, whether you've just found an interest in astrophysics or whether you've loved it for your entire life, I hope this podcast can be like a safe space and kind of like a place for relaxation where we can just be two best friends nerding out about space together. So thank you so much for listening, and I hope to see you next week for an actual space episode, the very first one, where we'll talk a little bit about the five types of black holes. There's four that are actually, like, confirmed by science, and the last one, the fifth one, is a bit more of a theory, and I'll kind of divulge that a little bit more in that episode. So I hope to see you then, and have a nice day.